Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Once upon a time, Boston was a center of major organized crime groups. The Mafia, under Raymond Patriarca, had roots here. And of course, so did the notorious Irish mobster James Whitey Bulger, who's now in jail for the rest of his life. And after the conviction of Frank Cadillac Salemi for the 1993 murder of a witness, federal authorities in Boston believe they've pretty much closed the book on major organized crime in this area. Fred Wyshak prosecuted the Salemi case. Here's how he describes what organized crime in Boston looks like today.
Looks like a bunch of disorganized thugs. There's no sophisticated organization like there have been before. A lot of the individuals who are still active are fairly old and are operating at a very low level. Quite frankly, the threats now are coming more from emerging organized crime groups, city-level street gangs, than the Mafia.
That's Fred Wyshak, who was the lead prosecutor in nearly all the organized crime cases in Boston for the past three decades. Our own Deborah Becker caught up with him recently to talk about that long career, and she's with us now. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Anthony.
So I'm really fascinated by this interview. Here's a guy who's dedicated his life to prosecuting organized crime leaders. He came to Boston at a really dangerous time. What did he tell you about what that was like?
Well, you know, we did talk about that a lot, Anthony, and like a lot of law enforcement professionals, we should start out by saying Wyshak is pretty understated. So
right.
He doesn't speak with a lot of emotion about this, but of course, he said Boston at the time he came here in the 80s from New Jersey was a dangerous place. South Boston was dangerous, especially if you were a criminal, he said, because it was so controlled by these groups, Whitey Bulger's group, the Winter Hill Gang, and the Italian Mob. Mafia. So I asked him, you know, here you are prosecuting these bad guys. Did you ever feel that you were in danger or threatened? Because we did know that he at one point had a police detail at his home because of threats from mobsters. And here's a little bit about that exchange.
Generally, there's lots of threats to prosecutors, but rarely is there any action taken on those threats. People try to intimidate you, but it's rare that there's any real physical repercussions.
But
it does happen.
And you were threatened?
Yes, yes, on several occasions.
And you had police detail at your house at times?
Yes, yes.
I mean, that didn't seem to scare you away.
Didn't bother me that much, but it bothered my neighbors and my kids and my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. So what do you think motivates you to continue to do this, especially when you've got that in the background, you know, possible danger? And what is it that's intriguing about this to you?
I think it's the drive. You know, once you get devoted to a cause, you become driven. And you're not going to let anything take you off that course. I mean, if you're going to be subject to threats, you're in the wrong job. At least in this job,
right.
It just never occurred to me that I was going to stop what I was doing because the bad guys out there were threatening, making threats. It's just not part of what a prosecutor should do.
But weren't you ever afraid?
Concerned, maybe, but not really afraid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't afraid to carry on a normal lifestyle.
A long pause after that question. Weren't you ever afraid?
Right. So Anthony, as you heard, he was, and he still is, a passionate prosecutor with a singular focus, really, on prosecuting, I would say, not just organized crime, but what he says is something even more dangerous, and that's government corruption.
Hmm.
Because he says what we learned from Bulger and his former partner, Stephen Flemmy, is that they were protected by the FBI, especially by former FBI agent John Connolly, who is now in jail for tipping off Bulger about an informant, a gambling executive, who was later murdered.
Interesting. And one of the big questions involves broader allegations, essentially, of broader FBI corruption beyond John Connolly. What did Wyshak say about that?
So Anthony, I did ask him about whether other FBI agents should have been held accountable and why during Bulger's trial that wouldn't have come out, that there were higher-ups who were complicit in all this. Could Connolly really have engineered all of this alone? And what he did say was that others may have been tainted by Connolly.
I think that there were several FBI agents who were aligned with Conley and did things that they shouldn't have done because they thought that it was in the best interest of the FBI and the FBI's agenda, which in that period was to take the mafia down. They crossed the line, you know, they broke some of the rules. But Conley, I think, as an individual, went much further than many of those other FBI agents. His conduct resulted in the death of numerous individuals. And I don't think any other FBI agent in Boston was engaged to that extent in any kind of wrongdoing.
Really interesting.
So, Anthony, I asked him if the FBI was willing to sort of look the other way on Bulger, to try to get at what was going on with the mafia. Wasn't he sort of operating under the same philosophy here?
Right.
What about the government's decision to offer mobster James Modorano a plea deal? Now, remember, this is a former associate of Whitey Bulger. He was a man, Modorano was known as the executioner. He admitted to some 20 mob-related killings, and he agreed to a plea deal to help prosecute Bulger and Stephen Flemmy. Today, Modorano's out of jail. He served 12 years. He was allowed to keep his real estate and money from a movie deal. The government even gave him spending money.
Right, a guy who admitted to killing 20 people.
That's right. Yeah. And so some people, even, you know, especially really some family members of Bulger's victims say, why is the government allowing an admitted murderer to walk free? And of course, there's John Connolly, who may well remain in prison for the rest of his life. And you know, so we asked Wyshek about that deal. We said, hey, did you do a deal with the devil for that testimony? And he said, he had some conflicted feelings about the deal. Let's listen.
The decision to enter into a plea agreement with John Modorano was probably one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make as a prosecutor. But if you talk to anybody in law enforcement, they will tell you that one of the biggest dangers there is to effective law enforcement is when you have corrupt members of whether it's the FBI or the local police. Corruption in law enforcement becomes the primary goal at that point once you realize that there's a bad apple in the barrel. You have to get rid of that bad apple. And that became very apparent during the hearings that followed the indictments of Bulger and Flemmy and John Modorano.
So, Deb, he made reference there to a bad apple in the barrel. He's referring there to former FBI agent John Connolly, right?
Right. Yes. And he made the point that the Modorano deal was really about going after the big mobsters, including Whitey Bulger, but also really getting to the bottom of that corruption case against Connolly. Here's a bit more of what he said.
So it became a decision about whether or not to, A, try to resolve these allegations of FBI corruption, and B, to save the criminal case against some of the most violent gangsters ever to walk the streets of Boston in making a deal with John Modorano. John Modorano sort of broke the ice for us and allowed us to not only successfully prosecute the underlying criminal case, but also to make significant inroads in the prosecution of John Connolly. Nobody's happy that he's killed as many people as he has and he's out walking the streets now. Nobody's happy about that. But when you look at the bigger picture, I think anybody who looks at that picture says that was the right call to make at the time.
Really fascinating stuff. Now, Deb, as we mentioned, Wyshak has been involved in just about every federal prosecution and organized crime in Boston for the past 30 years. He believes that major organized crime is pretty much over in Boston. So is he thinking that maybe he's earned the right to retire now? What does he say about that?
Well, you would think so.
Yeah, you would think so,
wouldn't you? And certainly a lot of his partners and the folks that he's worked with over the years have left and have gone on to private practice, where you certainly would earn a lot more. But Wyshak, nope, he says he's not done yet.
But I'm dug in here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I hope to retire as a federal prosecutor and never have to have gone out and on the other side and represented the bad guys.
Wow, so he's not not done yet. So, Deb, what else? What else struck you about what Wyshack told you?
I think one thing that I'll take away from this, Anthony, is that he talked really about the changing nature of Boston over the year. And he said, you know, when he was a young kid, teenager, growing up in Roslindale, the neighborhoods were very divided and there would be turf wars. And that sort of led to these turf wars, right, with Bulger and the Italian Mafia. And he said it was you didn't wander into another neighborhood or you knew you were going to get beaten up. And he said those lines have now blurred. Mm-hmm. And Boston is a much more sophisticated city. In fact, he wonders if South Boston and the Seaport would even look the same if Bulger were allowed to be in control any longer than he was.
Really interesting. WBUR's Deborah Becker, who spoke to longtime federal prosecutor Fred Wyshack. Deb, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, we'll hear about a new drag show at the planetarium at Boston's Museum of Science. Laser lights, music, cosmic wormholes, and drag queens coming up. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.